Well, as we settle back down into our seats, we're going to enter into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word today. In particular, we're going to be going to the moment we've been building up to these past several weeks, as we'll be turning back to our call to worship this morning from Acts chapter 2. We're going to go right back to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the day we celebrate the very birth of the church by and through the sending of the Holy Spirit as promised by Jesus, a moment that's captured for us in the second chapter of the book of Acts. The moment promised to us by Jesus, the night of his betrayal, he says this in John 14, 15 through 18, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Something that Jesus once again says in John 16, 7. Nevertheless, same moment of teaching with his disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Which caused us to ask the question, how could that even be possible? What could be better than having Jesus Christ in the flesh standing with us? In particular, it's having him inside of us, indwelling us, empowering us through the power of his Holy Spirit. And with this being understood, we've taken time these past several weeks to discover the true nature and work of the Holy Spirit. We've talked in particular about his nature, that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not some mythical, magical, mystical force out there. He is a he in the very presence of God with us, upon us, dwelling in us, moving through us. In this, we've discussed various works that he does in us and through us. We started with the fact that he gives us wisdom and knowledge, increasing our understanding of who God is and who we are. And in light of that, he leads us by convicting us to repent of our sins. Because we learn God is our Heavenly Father, our most loved Heavenly Father, and we want to do what pleases him. And so the Holy Spirit guides and leads us in this life, convicts us of sin, leading us into repentance. And as he does this, he brings about the newness of life that Christ came to give. That newness of life here and now, in the present. That we would be able to fully live out this life of faith. And as Jesus says, when discussing how he will send the Holy Spirit upon us in power, that he would truly be with us forever in and through his Holy Spirit. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you, as it says in John 14, 20. Giving us assurance. Assurance and hope of our heavenly reward and guarantee of our salvation. Knowing that he is with us, in us, moving through us. As he, the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 1:13, is our seal and guarantee of our salvation. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Finally, learning as we did last week, that seal, that promise, that guarantee is even more evident through the producing of good fruit in our lives that can only be produced in and by the Holy Spirit in us as we are led further and further away from who we were and closer to him and who he's made us to be. Bringing us to today, Pentecost Sunday, where we've read about that moment in Acts chapter 2, that wonderful moment promised by Jesus taking place and him sending his Holy Spirit in power upon the early believers, giving forth birth to what we know today as the church, His church, His holy gathering of set-apart people under His rule and reign on this earth, here and now, as it is in heaven. As we turn there, we'll also be heading to some other places as well as we go into this time to hear and respond to God's word today. And if you're a note taker and you want to follow along in your Bible, we'll be turning to Acts 1. We'll also be turning to Ephesians 4, 8 through 16 today. And 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. Once again, Acts chapter 1, verses 8, 4 through 8, I believe. And Ephesians 4, 8 through 16. And 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. However, before we go to those places, we're going to turn to that first place, that Pentecost Sunday recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, as we will be discussing the final work the Holy Spirit does in the believer's life. As we conclude our series, and amongst all the other works that we've discussed, today we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit empowers us with spiritual gifts. And we're going to be asking the question of why. Why does the Holy Spirit do this work in our lives? Why would He give us spiritual gifts and such empowerment? What is it even for? What's the purpose of it all? In that throughout the scriptures, we see this is a fundamental work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believers. Have you ever thought to ask why? That's what we're going to be doing today as we read Pentecost, that first Pentecost Sunday again in Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Understanding, as Acts 2 continues, this gift of other tongues is not what popular Christianity in today's society and our more charismatic-leaning brothers and sisters typically understand it. It is not a heavenly language that they spoke in, but different languages all together. And understanding in this passage, it's important to stress here, is not prescriptive, rather descriptive. Let me explain that for a little bit. To take something prescriptive is like to take something as the way, period. It always happens this way. It always has to happen this way. When we do this, this is what's going to happen. Think about how a doctor prescribes medicine to you. It's a prescription. You should take it the way it is prescribed. To not take it the way it's prescribed is to set yourself up for some pretty serious consequences. And so often we read things in the Bible as prescriptive that aren't prescriptive. Rather, they are descriptive. They're talking about how it was in a particular moment, in a particular time. Because when we actually explore why the Holy Spirit empowers the church, the way the Holy Spirit empowers the church, how He has moved throughout the church in history, we realize various things about the nature of the Holy Spirit and His empowerment in us for spiritual gifts. And we know that this moment in Acts is not prescriptive. Rather, it is very descriptive. And here they are given this gift known as the gift of languages. Because what we see, what happens in Acts 5, 2 through 12, it shows us this in what it says. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And we all were amazed, and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? What does this mean indeed? Why this amongst all the other gifts of the Spirit that we read about in the Bible? Why the gifts of language in this moment? Once again, not prescriptive, but descriptive. Why did it happen in this moment, this way, at this time? Bring us to the first reason why the Holy Spirit empowers God's people for God's purposes. In particular, the Holy Spirit bestows upon spiritual gifts in the life of the believer so that they would be empowered for mission. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so they would be empowered for mission. Not just any ordinary mission, God's will, God's kingdom here on this earth as it is in heaven. This is why the gift of languages was given that first Pentecost. Because as we just read, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language, which resulted in what we see in verses 9 through 11. Parthians and Medeans, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Syria. Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. The church was given the gift of languages in that moment, at that time, because that's what was needed the most. That is what was needed in the moment, in the time, for the mission. As God empowers his people for the mission, as the mission sees fit with the tools and the necessary empowerment to do its mission, his mission. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so that we would be empowered for mission, so that we can give a bold and courageous testimony, and that we can go forth proclaiming the kingdom of God, making disciples of every nation. This is clearly a work of the Holy Spirit in giving gifts for the empowerment of mission for bold witness. As Jesus says himself in Luke 12, 11 through 12, "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." I learned the hard way that doesn't apply to test. If you're going to take a test, you need to study before you take it. But here is the fact. We can't do this alone. Just like we cannot live a life of faith without Jesus, we cannot find redemption, receive forgiveness, or salvation, or enter his kingdom alone. We need Jesus. We are incapable. We can't do this mission alone. This mission is beyond us. It's beyond our capability. That is why God has not left us alone, but he has empowered us for his very purposes and his will here on this earth as it is in heaven by and through his Holy Spirit. Jesus says a servant is no greater than his master. In other words, if they would do it to me, they're going to do it to you. And what did they do to Jesus? I don't know about you, but I can't face that alone. I can't even begin to bear the idea of facing something like that alone. But here's the promise he gives you, is that even though you're going to face troubles, they're going to drag you before rulers and synagogue leaders, as he tells his disciples, you're going to be put in situations that you're not going to understand or expect. He is with you, empowering you, moving in and through you if you truly are in him. And we have no reason to be anxious. Why? Because of his Holy Spirit. The very same Spirit upon him is now upon you, dwelling upon you, empowering you for the moment as it's needed, when it's needed. It's not that I have this gift and that gift and I don't have any others. The Spirit of God moves as the Spirit of God moves. Sure, he empowers us in certain ways continuously. You know, just for example, what I'm doing right now is sheer empowerment given to me by the Holy Spirit. I love it when I go back home, back east, and I see people from my old high school. And I tell them what I'm doing. And they're like, you're doing what? Because I'm the last person you would have ever expected to be up here in high school. I'm the last person you would ever expect to be giving any kind of speech of any kind of kind, because I speak Branglish. I don't speak English. I also write in Branglish. That's Brandon's English. And it's hard to decipher. But God, by his great mercy and love, gives me the strength each and every week to do just this, for the purpose of his mission. And that's by and through the power of his Holy Spirit. And there's other moments where I find that I'm given those words of wisdom to share. I'm given that encouragement needed in the moment because of the Holy Spirit, to do the mission and to be a bold witness empowered by him so that I could be courageous even in the most dark and desperate times. Jesus makes it clear that this is exactly why he sends his Holy Spirit upon us, for the sake of mission. Acts 1:4-8 says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? I just wonder if Jesus just was like, you guys still don't get it. You still don't get it. But they asked the question nevertheless, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Why does Jesus say we're going to receive this power of the Holy Spirit upon us? It's so that we can be his witnesses, that we would be empowered to go forth boldly in this world proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. It's so that they would be his witnesses in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so they would be empowered for mission. Bringing us to the second reason why God empowers his people with the Holy Spirit, by and through his Holy Spirit, is for the building up of the common good of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so they build up the body of Christ and promote that common good amongst the family of God. This is what the Word of God testifies to. It's for our edification, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The common good building to build up one another in Christ in his church, as Ephesians 4:18-16 proclaims. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Why does Jesus give us this power? For the edification and the building up of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so they would build up one another in the body of Christ and promote the common good amongst the family of God. The point being, the Spirit of God gives these gifts to empower us for the sake of others. Whether it be for mission or building up one another, the gifts of the Spirit are given for the other. As we are to live other-oriented, we are to consider others more significant than ourselves. The gifts are not given to us for us, but they're given to us for others. So that through us, the world would be blessed. Because as God blesses us, we become we transmit that blessing upon others. We are transmitters of the blessing that God gives to us. If you're wanting to grow in a deeper walk with Jesus, you seek him fully. And as you seek him fully, you gather with others. Because guess what? As you're blessing others, guess what others are doing with you, for you with their gifts? They're blessing you, edifying you as you are edifying others. An important point to note here is that we need one another. We're not meant to do this alone. If we want to grow closer to Jesus, we need to be with each other. The gifts are given for the other. And as you use your gifts and others use their gifts and the body is all functioning and working in the proper manner, it builds itself up. Each and every one builds one another up, edifies one another, grows one another more and more into Christ. As the author of Hebrews warns us in 10:24-25, he says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And I actually wrote an article about this in the Sun Gazette here recently in the Pray Together column about how this isn't talking about Sunday. Because Sunday's not enough. This idea of not neglecting to meet together, they met together every day. They were surrounding themselves with community of people who would encourage them, who would spur them on. You know, it's sad in our world of such interconnectedness. Like we have cell phones, we have Facebook now, and all these other wonderful technologies. We live more disconnected with others than ever before. We live more disconnected with people than ever before. And it truly is a tragedy whenever we were made to be together, to spur one another on, to encourage one another daily, not just on Sunday, but every day. God's Spirit has empowered us to do just this, to encourage and edify one another and to spur one another on to that mission that he is sending us on to bring a little bit of taste of heaven here in Exeter and beyond. We were made for one another, and we were made to do just this by and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You may be thinking, how? How has God's Spirit empowered me to do this for others? I don't go around healing people. I don't go around prophesying. I surely don't go around teaching. I know some people are like, oh, no, not me. I'm not a teacher. Understand, the Spirit of God can make you capable of doing all of that and so much more. There's no reason, once again, as I said, that I'm here right now other than the fact that God's Spirit grabbed a hold of me. And where I was incapable, he made me able. And quite frankly, sometimes we only think about those miraculous gifts, the signs and wonders. But what about the gift of encouragement? That is a gift of the Spirit of God that we see. Hospitality is a gift. Mercy is also a gift the Holy Spirit gives to people to do his work, as well as to encourage and edify and build up the body of Christ, to bring about that common good. We often don't talk about those gifts whenever Paul says we should honor, bring great honor to what people would consider those lesser gifts, because they're not lesser. This world is not short of encouragers. We have a whole bunch of discouragers out there, and there's a whole bunch of things happening that can be very discouraging. God has empowered you to be an encourager, to be a cheerleader for his people and his kingdom. And that is why the Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts in the life of the believer, so that we could build up the body of Christ and promote the common good amongst the family of God. Understanding it's all for the other. Bringing us to the third reason why God empowers his people with His Holy Spirit in and through the gifts of the Spirit. In that it is all for the other, but it is also all for God. He gives us and bestows upon us spiritual gifts so that we can bring honor and glory to God. As 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Remember, the gifts are for the other, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks, oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Which shows us clearly, why does He empower this way? So that we could glorify Him, that we could bring glory and honor to His name by demonstrating who He is to other. God bestows upon His people the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit so that we can do our ultimate purpose, and that is to glorify Him, as that is the chief end of man, is to bring glory and honor to God. And there are many lists of these gifts. And they're not conclusive lists. And that's the other thing. We got to understand that all the lists are not conclusive. They kind of vary each list because none of the lists that we find in the Bible are conclusive. And if you'd like to look these lists up later in the week on the Taking the Sermon Deeper page on the back, they'll see also. You'll see 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 31, 1 Corinthians 14:1 through 33, Romans 12:1 through 8, and Ephesians 4:1 through 13. These are places you can go to see these lists that are provided for us, but understanding they're not conclusive, that they're far more expansive. In fact, earlier we just read that serving is a gift given by the Spirit, that spirit of servanthood. It's a spirit we should all have because the Holy Spirit is upon us, to serve others, to treat others more significant than ourselves. The point regarding all these gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit, it's never given or gifted for the gifted's benefit. It is always given for the purpose of mission. God's mission in this world, to empower the believer to go forth and proclaim the gospel. It's always given for the purpose to edify and mature the church. For God be the glory, not me. Not you, not any of us, but that God would be glorified. The gifts are always given for the other, not the self. Ultimately, they're always given for God. For too often, we seek spiritual gifts in this life with our self-centered, individualistic, narcissistic mindset our culture has indoctrinated us with, and we miss the point altogether. As one writer writes best, in no way are the spiritual gifts to be used to draw attention to oneself or put on a showy display. This writer then points out how God addresses this exact problem through Paul in the letter of Corinthians when he's talking about all these spiritual gifts and how they should use them, why they should use them. And he comes into this great discourse of, I'm going to show you an even greater way. And he writes that beautiful chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as the love chapter. But he says this in verses 1 through 3. Understanding a lot of people read this at weddings, but it's not to talk about the marital love. No, it's talking about the love that we are to have for each other and this world, because it's the love that God gives us. And here's what Paul says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not loved, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Why is this? Because without a sense of the other in our hearts and minds, as we live an empowered life in Christ, it means nothing. It is for nothing. If we are still living for ourselves and saying we're living for Jesus, it's nothing. We are to put to death ourselves and live for God. It is for His kingdom come, His will be done. It is for His glorification and honor and not our own. Because the Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so they can bring honor and glory to God. Bringing us to the ultimate question we need to be asking. Who are you living for? Are you seeking such empowerment from God? Who are you living for? Because if you're living for yourself, that empowerment's not coming. But if you're living for Him and Him alone, that power is already upon you, moving in you. Would you be bold and courageous enough to do, as 1 Peter 4:10, 11 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why does God give us these gifts? Let's recap. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so they build up the body of Christ and promote the common good amongst the family of God. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so they could build up the body of Christ, promote the common good amongst the family of God. I just repeated that, didn't I? The Holy Spirit also bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so they would be empowered for mission. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on the life of the believer so they can bring honor and glory to God. Understanding this is essential. It's about living for the other, living for God, living out the greatest commandments, to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second like the first, to love your neighbor as ourselves. God has given us these gifts to just do this, to do this exact thing. But who is it you're living for? That's the question I leave with you today. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we go into this time of response and reflection, forgive us for all the times we've made it about ourselves, and we have not made it about You or the people You have called us to go forth to and serve. Forgive us when we've made much to do about ourselves and have failed to glorify Your name. Spirit of God, as You turn our hearts and our lives focused around from ourselves back to You, we pray that You would empower us for Your mission and empower us for the edification of Your people so that we would bring glory, honor, and praise to Your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.